Welcome to Transform, a podcast highlighting the people and ideas shaping the future of senior living. I'm Tim Regan, editor of Senior Housing News. On today's episode, I spoke with Brandon Edwards, CEO of Unlock Health. Last November, Unlock acquired SPM Group, which included under its umbrella GLC, Dreamscape Marketing, and Centrac. Now, Unlock Health is the largest health services growth marketing platform in the country, and Edwards told me that's by design.
What we've seen in these industry sectors is this sort of oddly discombobulated approach. And we really saw an opportunity to build something that just didn't exist. All of those best-in-class capabilities under one roof.
And now, here's my interview with Brandon Edwards, CEO of Unlock Health. Brandon Edwards, thank you so much for joining me on Transform today. Before we get started, I want to give our listeners a little bit of context. So last November, Unlock Health acquired SPM Group, which included SPM, obviously, alongside GLC, Dreamscape, and Centratech. The deal, as I remember, made Unlock Health the largest health services growth marketing platform in the country. I think it was like $100 million in revenue at the time. So I wanted to start with that as the background. So Brandon, kind of a big picture topic question to start with, but with all of that as the backdrop, what's the current vision of Unlock Health? And if I may tack on to the end of that, why does the world need an Unlock Health right now?
Yeah. Well, I think, I'll, like most things, I'll answer in exactly the reverse order. I think that the reason the world needs an Unlock, and I think we'll define the world here as it relates to healthcare providers, to behavioral health and addiction, to senior living, to those industry segments that provide service to people that are sometimes hard to compare and sometimes hard to understand the differences between. We really believe that these industries can work better when we think about how to provide information to people in that decision process. And from the business side of it, is really how do you ensure that your brand is in front of the right people at the right time? And how do you ensure that you are acquiring the kinds of patients, members, residents that you want to have, right? So I think what we've seen in these industry sectors is this sort of oddly discombobulated approach, right? You buy your technology from one partner and you buy your services from another, and God help you if you have to rebrand, you buy those services from someone else entirely, and you're trying to cobble all those pieces together. And we really saw an opportunity to build something that just didn't exist before this, which was all of those best-in-class capabilities under one roof, where for those organizations that want to have a single partner for the first time they can, without any trade-offs in terms of expertise or quality. So I would say that the world needs us because it just simply wasn't available, simply didn't exist for people. I also think that this is not, I mean, my view is these industries are not hobbies, right? These are complicated. You have to understand a lot about how people think and how they make decisions. And these are really important life decisions for people that they make. They're attached to a lot of guilt and worry and anxiety and all kinds of things. And we can help with that. We can help people ensure that they're making the best possible choices. So my view at least is, organizations might want to hire us for one thing or another thing, and that's totally fine. But really overall, it's those organizations that benefit the most who will hire us really to help them think through their entire strategy around growth and long-term sustainability.
So great. Thank you for some of that as the background. That's a good starter, I think. So I want to go into some of the challenges the industry is facing. I mean, if you're a senior living operator right now, you have myriad challenges. I don't even need to name them here. I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you know them far better than I do. But Brandon, I want to hear from you. Can you talk about some of the greatest challenges that you see operators facing today in the market? And also, how does Unlock Health, fit into that equation?
Yeah, well, probably like most things, if you're the CEO of a company, you think you know a lot about everything. And so, we definitely have people that are far more expert in senior living generally than I am, right, in terms of the space. But I will certainly tell you why we think that need exists and what we see as those dynamics, right? So, one, we have a huge issue in this country as it relates to senior living generally, right? Like where do people go? How do you balance the need of wanting to stay close to family but still have independence? How do you think about the really rapidly changing needs of aging in place, right? So when you think about those, I mean, I have a father who's 81 who plays golf five times a week, and I have a mother-in-law who's 81 who, you know, might not walk to the mailbox, right? And I might be exaggerating a little bit, but that, you know, just two people exactly the same age in the same state with radically different situations, right? Different economic resources, different willingness to accept help, different willingness to accept guidance, and different profiles of how much they want to interact with family and all that. So I think when you take that sort of microcosm and explode it out to an entire country of 335 million people, And who's going to live where, and how are we going to care for those needs? You know, the days that my family grew up in, where my grandmother lived at home with my mother and slept in the same bed with her when she was a kid, right, until she passed away. You know, that's for most families, that's long gone, right? And it really now, I think, comes down to how do we deliver the right product, but also how do we help people understand the differences between those products and make the right choices for them. So I see an industry that's in tremendous flux, right? That you look at demographic changes, you look at economic changes. I mean, the generation that's entering senior living now, I would argue, is probably the last generation that saw the sort of significant wealth increase in their lifetime. We may not see that again in a few generations, right? I mean, I don't think I'm breaking any demographic news to anybody when I say that, right? But that generation benefited from, you know, post-war stock market, housing prices, you know, 100 different things that we just don't experience. And yet it is our generation largely who's going to be caring for those things. And what does that look like, right? So that's a lot, and it's all sort of interrelated, and I'm not sure there's one really simple answer to the question. But essentially what we see is an industry sector in need of tremendous expertise and honestly a sense of empathy and mission behind that, right? Like you can make really, you know, rough and tumble business decisions that might or might not be in the best interest of the people you serve. We want to balance those things, right, to where you're making good business decisions, but you're also caring for people and demonstrating that empathy. And I think when an industry is in transition, the way we're seeing that now, there's an even greater reliance on expertise and the ability to navigate that complexity.
Maybe you just answered some of this in what you just mentioned, but I did want to ask you this specific question. You know, what do you see about today's senior living market that begs a need for a new kind of approach to the audience? And I guess also, do you see anything as broken? You know, that's a word that I ask sometimes, but what out there do you see that you think is broken?
Well, I think there are definitely some firms in the space that do a great job, right? We didn't form Unlock because say, oh, everyone else is awful and we're wonderful. Not at all. I mean, there's always going to be good people out there doing good work. You know, I think it's funny. If you talk to people who aren't in the space and say, you know, we're going to approach a campaign, the first thing will be, well, you do direct mail and infomercials because that's all seniors look at. It's like, well, first of all, that's 100% not true. Right, still the fastest growing age segment on Facebook is seniors. Right, and you know, when you think about sort of digital engagement and a lot of shift to online, just because you're over a certain age doesn't mean that you've stopped adapting to those things. It may be harder, it may be more challenging, and God knows as I get older, the fonts need to be bigger. But you know, I think this idea of really meeting people where they are as well as where they're going, right? Because I think if we just rely on the great marketing tactics and growth tactics that worked 5, 10, 20 years ago, that's not what's going to work tomorrow. That's not what's going to work next year. That's not unique to this sector, right? That's true. That's true in every area of business and life, I think. So, you know, one, I think it's that combination of expertise, technology enablement, and then the full range of capabilities. So, you know, I think when I was a kid, my dad said, if you ask a barber, you always need a haircut, right? Well, I think if you hire a firm that does traditional advertising, amazingly, they're going to recommend a traditional advertising campaign. If you go to a direct marketing firm, they're going to recommend direct marketing. You know, we really sit in a place where we have all of the capabilities available to us. So we want it rooted in strategy. We want it rooted in data. We want it rooted in the human experience. And then we want to bring to bear the approaches that are going to work the best. So it's almost a service agnostic approach. It's value first. It's not trying to get you to buy what I have. It's trying to take the totality of what I have and apply what makes sense.
You know, I think the senior living industry is probably familiar with Dreamscape's marketing approach. So I want to ask you this too. Why did Dreamscape seek Unlock as a partner in order to kind of, expand its offering?
Well, I think I shouldn't speak for Dreamscape, but I guess I will. I think when you look at who a Dreamscape could have been in business with, and you look at the variety of options, I think there were plenty of places. I mean, they're an incredibly good firm with a great reputation, well-positioned in the space, I think doing really good work that's being properly valued and recognized. That said, I think they could have gone lots of different places and done what we just talked about, right? You could go to a firm that only does digital marketing, or you could go to a firm that only does SEM and SEO, or you could whatever, right? There are a lot of options available to them. I think there's a recognition on their end, number one, that the totality of this offering really did provide something different to their clients and prospective clients than anything else that was out there. Two, I think there is a recognition that there is an increasing convergence over time between healthcare and the delivery of health services in the senior living environment, right? I think we see that in trends with a lot of the larger senior living companies where you're seeing expanded healthcare offerings at their properties and in their venues. And if you're not in the healthcare world and you're trying to bring healthcare into something, that is not for the faint of heart. Right, like it's something you really have to dedicate your life to understanding because of its complexity. So, and I think the last factor, and I don't think this is a small thing, is I think there's a really good kind of fit of culture and values. Right, that you do better work when you work with people you like. You do better work when when teams work well together and when there's a frictionless experience. And I think that can be sometimes underappreciated in business. Right, as we think about big and we think about brand, at the end of the day, I think people look across the table and say, do I like you? And do I trust you? And do you know what you're doing? And probably in that order, if we're being honest. And I think that team is a really phenomenal team. I think they're good people. I think they do great work. And I think they are unafraid to think about things in a different way. And that is, is an essential part of them.
So I know that Unlock offers more than marketing. I know it's also a growth platform. When I was getting ready for this interview, I was wondering, what is a growth platform versus, sort of a more traditional marketing agency, if you will. So can you talk about what distinguishes a growth platform from marketing agency and how, if I'm an operator, I can benefit from working with a growth platform specifically?
Yeah, so I think a growth platform, to be fair, was sort of made up. So I think, what's a growth platform? It's a thing we invented to explain the benefits that come from this combined enterprise, right? So
right.
I think we
go all back to all of language.
I guess that's true with everything. Yeah. but I think if you hit the kind of the rewind button to the first part of our conversation, historically, okay, I need marketing technology to support me, right? I need a CRM or I need a marketing automation platform or I need something. And you can go to Salesforce and leverage your house, or you can whatever it is that you're doing. And there are some decent solutions out there, but most of them lack the services to be able to really fully deploy and realize the value of that. The flip side is all the service providers either don't offer technology, or even if they don't offer it, they don't necessarily understand it or utilize it to its full extent. And so this idea of a growth platform is really saying there really shouldn't be trade-offs between the technology you need and the services that you require, and the combination of those two. And your team shouldn't have to be the one to integrate that work. That hard work should be done by your partner. So really what we're trying to say to people is, look, if you want to buy one or the other, you want to deploy certain things, that's up to you. Everyone wants to buy a little different. It's different preferences. But the maximum value possibly be created by what we do is the totality of the offering working together at the same time. And that's really how we see the growth platform, is all the essential ingredients of growth under one.
Yeah. You know, that word value is a word that I hear more and more these days in the senior living industry. You know, on the senior living industry side, operators are trying to show the value of what they do to prospects and residents. So maybe to stick with that theme, tell me more about how your team is delivering value to senior living communities today and how you think that will change as, you know, both the industry and the market evolve.
Yeah. So, a long time ago, I remember, I think it was in college, actually, I was studying like constitutional law or something. And there was, I remember to this day, this phrase that the Supreme Court found that the definition of pornography is you know it when you see it. I think that's value too, in many ways, right? As you know it when you see it. Like, we can talk about calculations and ROI formulas and 100 different things, but you know it when you see it. Right. And I think to me, that value really comes in two ways. So one is there is no single definition of value for any client. It's there is a definition for a client, right? If you've defined value creation for one client, you've defined it for one client, right? What are you trying to achieve in your business? Are you trying to make your brand more pervasive and better known? Are you trying to be the number one in a market? Are you a challenger brand trying to be a strong number two or become number one, right? Like, lots and lots of different options that are there. But I think at its core, what it really is for every dollar you're spending on marketing of some kind, there should be some sort of measurable return, some return on investment that shows that marketing worked, right? That secured a number of people who are interested in your senior living property, qualified leads, right? Like, again, there's a term that begs definition, right? What's a qualified lead? But essentially, are you securing your goals around occupancy and at the right price point, right? And so I think at the end of the day, value is how does marketing help you to achieve your business goals in as an effective and efficient a way as humanly possible?
You know, I think it's clear from as we've been talking today, how much the senior living industry is evolving, all the different things, as you said, in flux. You know, if I'm a senior living operator, I might view all of that as a challenge. I might say, oh my gosh, things are changing. That's scary. As the senior living market evolves, how does Unlock see that evolution as an opportunity for senior living operators?
Yeah. So, I don't think there is an answer to that. I think the answer really depends on the sort of circumstances you're in. If you're a more traditional property that doesn't offer a lot of healthcare services, for example, I think you're going to have one distinct segment of the market. I also think it's really different depending on where you are geographically. Right. And I think very, very different if you live near your adult children versus if you live very distant from your adult children. Like, I think there's a few factors to me that are maybe not binary, but pretty close to it. I think absolutely we are going to see over time a continual expansion or shift in spend from more traditional methods to digital methods. I mean, I just think that's undeniable, right? That we're going from the days of TV, radio, and direct mail dominating and digital being a rounding error to probably the reverse. And again, I am not advocating everything needs to be digital any more than I would advocate everything needs to be traditional. But I do think we just have to, I was talking to a client the other day, not in senior living, to be fair, who said, I just don't believe in digital. I believe in billboards and direct mail. And I said, well, saying you don't believe in digital is like saying I don't believe in the sunrise, right? Like, it just is. And you can choose how to interact with it and you can choose whether to like it or not. That's up to you. I don't care what I like. I care what works. I mean, I guess I care, but you know, it's certain areas. I care a lot what works. And so I think what's demonstrably true is that digital in particular is a substantially more cost-effective way of driving qualified leads. That just is what it is. And we know, and even if we didn't believe seniors are online, which they are, and responding to digital media, which they are, we know for sure they're adult children. We know that those who help them make the right decisions are. So they may not be making a decision for them, but they're helping them make the right decision, right? So I think we're going to continue to see sort of a secular shift to digital. I think that a lot of things that might have been viewed as unusual or sort of extraordinary are going to become much more normal, right? I think having an almost fanatical obsession with SEO optimization of your website and your content sharing, right? I think we still make senior living selection options sound transactional when most people don't think of that as a transactional decision. Mom lived somewhere, she's going to live somewhere else, and she may be there for a long, long time. That doesn't sound transactional to me, right? That sounds relational. That sounds like community. That sounds like a whole bunch of different things, right? So, you know, I think we're going to continue to see the secular shift. I think we're going to continue to see a much more humanized version of marketing, meaning I think a lot more video, a lot more resident testimonials, a lot more family sharing, right? They just a lot more like, what is it actually like to be there? What is it actually like to live there and experience that community? And that's really hard to share on a static website, right? With smiling photos of, I mean, there's that great ad, I think it's a Humana ad right now, that says there's the two seniors laughing about how they've seen a bunch of Medicare Advantage ads and they're all at a farmer's market. And it's so true, right? Like I'm sorry, I know a lot of seniors. They don't all go to farmers markets, as it turns out. and I think we're seeing, you know, 70 is the new 50 and a bunch of things again that are changing demographically. I think it's all about sort of tuning to what's really happening and not just relying on those strategies in the past. So that secular shift, I think, is real. I think that sort of empathic or human element to it is very real. And I think the people that really grow and thrive are going to embrace that.
Yeah. Brandon, I've got a couple more questions for you here. And then I think we're almost out of time, but I'll try to get to a few more. You know, something that as I was thinking about our conversation today, you know, I was thinking about all of the different avenues of scrutiny now that senior living operators are under, you know, from stories in the media, from local and federal regulators, you know, even prospective residents and their families themselves. So it just seems like operators are really under the spotlight right now. Granted, I also think that there's a wonderful story that operators could be telling, but I wanted to ask you, you know, when senior living operators are in the spotlight, what do you think they should be doing to take advantage of that?
Well, number one, I think there is much, in my experience, and I think in our overall POV, there's a lot less emphasis on place than there is community, right? So what I mean is, I think a lot of senior living marketing over the years has sort of over-indexed on features instead of benefits, for lack of a better term, right? It's a lot about, you know, what service is this and what amenities that, and you get to choose your color options, and I don't know, right? There's 100 different variations of that. And I think what we're really seeing is that people want to know they have a chance to be a part of a community. They don't, no one, we're not made to be alone, right? We're made to be with other people. We're made to be in community with other people. So I think any place that senior living operators can kind of lean into the community aspect and the human aspect of this, right? If your adult children don't live nearby, how do you make it as easy as possible for mom or dad or both to maintain real connectivity with their family, but also to build relationships in the community where they're living now? If they are local, how do you structure that in a way that's welcoming and positive? Again, not every senior living community, but I think more and more over time, we really have to look at how do you really offer the best, most appropriate healthcare services in those communities? I don't think this is purely about like, well, you know, we co-branded with Mayo. It's like, sure, that's great, right? But you know, there are healthcare leaders in every region of the country. There are different needs depending on what sort of health issues people face. There's probably a limit to how seriously ill someone can be and still be served in that sort of environment, right? So I think it's really thoughtfully, again, not just looking back at what we've always done, but really thinking about the changing needs of that community and how do you lean into that? And how do you lean into that public? How do you talk about healthcare services without making people who are looking at senior living communities feel like, oh, I don't belong there, I'm healthy, okay? Well, we're all going to get older, right? I mean, whether we like it or not, the death rate is still 100% on a long enough time horizon. Right? So, yeah,
it's true.
How do we take care of people without making them feel different, you know, like making them sort of choose something that makes them uncomfortable.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Another question I like to ask folks in this podcast is, if you had a magic wand, let's say it could change anything about the senior living industry or maybe even its marketing practices, you know, when you wave that wand, what effect do you want it to have and why? What would you change with that magic wand?
I mean, look, I think if you could do anything, and I want to be careful here, this is magic wand, this is not real, right?
Yeah, wouldn't it, correct. I don't have the magic wand in my possession.
Yeah, wouldn't it be amazing if things like VR and AR were at a point where people could actually experience what it was like to live in a senior living community without having to live there, right? Oh, yeah. I don't think we're anywhere near that, right? But I do think that a big obstacle is, one, you got to get mom or dad or both there, and that's challenging, right? And then they're getting a tour. They're not experiencing it like they live there, right? Maybe some, right? But, you know, it's sort of like packaging, right? Packaging in a supermarket isn't designed to tell you what's in the box. It's designed to get you to buy the box, right? A tour, a marketing, is designed to get you to make the choice. It doesn't really tell you what it's like to live there. I just think, you know, if we could wave a magic wand and say, I can put this on and it is though I am there. And I can see how people relate to one another, and I can see what meals are like, and I can see what the flow of the day is like, and all of those sort of things, not in a like packaged and staged way, but in a real way. I just think that would be fascinating, because I do think if we look at sort of customer satisfaction, NPS scores, whatever you want to look at for people, most people living in senior living communities are pretty darn happy, right? And yet I think it is often the most emotionally laden and difficult decision anyone makes, is either for themselves or for and with their parents or their family, how to make that choice and how to not feel guilty about it. Often I think we all wait until it's too late to actually take full advantage of the benefits of that senior living community because we've loaded it up so much emotionally.
Those are good words to end on, I think, Brandon Edwards. So thank you so much for coming on Transform. I thought this was a great discussion today. I feel like I learned something talking to you. So that was good. So Brandon, thank you again for coming on. It's a pleasure.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
That does it for this episode of Transform. I'd like to again thank Brandon Edwards, CEO of Unlock Health, for a great discussion. Again, I'm Tim Regan for Senior Housing News. Thanks for listening.